This is an Alliance podcast.
What up, world?
What's up? What's good?
I'm tired, but I'm here.
But yeah, it's about that time, y'all. So, it's Scott here from the SWATs, the Southwest Atlanta, where it's hot. For real, now it's hot. You know, the 404, but currently in the Southern California, where the Wild Wild West is at my door. And I'm with who?
What up, y'all? It's your girl, Sills, from VA All Day. Two up, two down. You know how it is. Repping the 804. I'm up in the PNW where the weather changes every 5 minutes. So, it's reflective of my mood right now.
And so we are who? We are the Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin,
lay your edges,
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so this week is going to be a short episode. Say that, and then we be long. This week we will discuss two matches featuring the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yes, yes, yes. And then we will briefly discuss a few of the other international matches or particular moments, as well as our SBFC superlatives.
And then we're going to introduce a new segment, the Shake Butter VHS videotape. Okay, videotape for y'all people who don't know. Like the thing that you put in the little box and then it shows up film. Okay, like a CD, like a DVD. Like the thing on Netflix. Now imagine that in a black box. Yeah, we're doing film sessions where we're going to introduce and break down some old matches. Well, a match for today from some of our favorite members of our delegation. And then what else are we doing?
And then finally, we're bringing y'all our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. So let's get it started.
Yeah, let's get popping. So the first match we're going to talk about today is the U.S. Women's National Team playing Portugal. And they won that game 1-0. because I guess it's some good defense.
It's a good team defense. And Portugal, while they have some talent coming and they've made the they qualified for the European Championships next year, their standout player is currently playing in the NWSL and Jessica Silva. We'll talk a bit about her later. But they couldn't generate a lot of possession or offense. So good team defense and also playing a team just isn't on the ball a lot.
Yeah, and they like effectively dropped into a defensive block. Mm-hmm. So they basically, is that like parking the bus?
Park that bus. They absolutely parked that bus.
And so, yeah, they were like, y'all gonna have to string stuff together to come beat us. And this is important because even though the U.S. Women's National Team won, they're going to see if teams are capable of doing this, they're going to do this, particularly if they can't score. Sweden. they're going to do this to them in the Olympics. So this was a good game in the middle of the hot hill to experience it.
Oh, my God. They were shiny. Like, somebody said there was a purple tinge going on a couple of the players. Like, they started that game pretty late, and it was still so hot. I felt hot just watching.
I felt the humidity in the screen. Like, if y'all haven't been to Houston, Texas, it is so freaking humid.
In June.
And then you're talking about they play these matches at 8 o'clock. That was preparing all y'all East Coasters to be up in the crack in the middle of the
night. No, I don't like that. I don't like that part.
And then, yeah, Miss Geriatric over here, she was up here like, it's still late. But even them playing at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, just so it was cooler, they were still drenched in sweat. The heat, it was still like, I lived in Miami. So I'm used to that kind of stuff. Not no more, but I was used to like living and existing in that where I wouldn't break a sweat. I wear long pants and long shirts in that kind of heat anyway. No. But I mean, even trying to go to the club, you're in shorts. They up here running around full speed, trying to press in the middle, man. Yeah,
it was a lot, right? I think this would have been a good game for your tank top idea, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, players were up here like they was making tank tops.
Yeah, it was that hot. Everything was sticky. Some of those white shirts are probably see-through at some point. because we went with the home kits, because I don't know why when it's hot as Hades outside you went with the home kit, but all right. Yeah, but it was not lethargic, because we had a lot of moments. Some of that was just that Portugal goalkeeper was Inés Pereira, if I'm saying that incorrectly, stood on her head, truly. That foot save was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because that shot happened so fast. Like, I didn't think Press was going to shoot that.
CP
flicked it on, right? So
yeah, she flicked it on. It wasn't expected. And as being a goalkeeper myself, like, and particularly there was traffic, so it just had to be paying attention to what Kristen was doing.
Yeah.
But the fact, I mean, even some of the defenders were like, what the hell?
Right.
Like, if she did that and she was able to foot save it. She did that to something else. Roosevelt did something similar. So that might have prepped it. True. But yeah, like Inés was balling, because they easily could have been whipping. They could have it could have been a beatdown. Because Kristen had about a couple of shots. I think people have forgotten. I re-looked at the game and I was like, oh, she did that.
Yeah.
Rose, and she blocked that.
Rose had two on target.
Yeah. Yeah, Rose had two on target.
That was, I think she blocked Sam's like first header.
Yeah.
That was on target. But yeah, so she made some spectacular saves.
Right.
So I hope, you know, I think most of the team plays in Portugal now. But hey, if I was in another European league, I might take a look at her as a goalkeeper. But yeah, it was hot. The team moved like they could. We won 1-0 on a assist from Kristen Press to Sam Mewis, who literally just stood there.
Yeah, stood and turned her head.
And just turned her head and flicked it in. Like, didn't have to move. What a pass. What a pass.
It was super accurate. After a whole night of misaccurate placements and short corner pick situations, apparently, I guess yesterday, Blacko revealed they were trying to turn, wasn't yesterday. When I was rewatching the game and actually listening to some of the commentary and not getting irritated, they were saying that Blacko wanted to change the pace of the kicks. And so that's why they had been, he said on film, they were too predictable where they placed balls.
Yeah.
And so that's why he was doing short corners. But I'm like, well, can they be accurate? And y'all short corners look like something that happens in a later game we will talk about. But
and your short corners need to, like, if you're going to do short corners, then who you have taking the corners versus who you have receiving needs to probably look a little bit different, because who's firing that shot
from out
deep. So yeah, but I get that. I agree with him. I think that's something worth switching up. I hope we can work on defending set pieces while we're watching the film, because that's a different conversation.
Yeah, that's what because it's like, I know y'all want to switch up pace of delivery of set pieces, but y'all got beat on a set piece because they looked at what y'all were doing, how y'all are defending. Y'all be looking starry-eyed, you know. People gonna exploit that. I don't know if anybody in the Olympics is going to do it to you.
Yeah,
but probably. The World Cup, they could potentially, for real, do it. For the best players,
Press, Mew is Samantha. I mean, Crystal done every time, though she didn't have a ton to do. Rose, I think, was, you know, on target, like I said, goalkeeper. And I think Lindsay as a six is going to be an interesting conversation. I thought she was okay in that role. I thought her offense was better than her defense.
Yes, she was not being a six.
Yeah, she struggles to actually stay central.
It's like, Lindsay, if you're going to be a six, be in a six.
She's drifting to the left, and which makes sense. That's where she plays. So, like, I get it. But yeah, that's not necessarily her best position. So we'll deal with that later. But the U.S. was successful, and I think felt comfortable, fairly comfortable breaking down, like you said, a low block or parking the bus, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, we don't win pretty all the time, and it was hot, and I think they just wanted to go home and go to bed. So... they got out of that one, and then
But from that game though, I see you said that's your starting three. I don't know.
I said you know who your starting three should be. I didn't say it was those three.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, well, no. You know. Well, yeah, you yeah. know, but yeah. You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
I know who the best forward in the United States is.
Oh yeah, Chris Press.
That's what.
But you should. I mean, yeah, you should know who you'd be starting. So then what happens in this next game?
You start
because you're rotating.
Yeah.
We start a bunch of, my bad, not a bunch. We start a few people, two people who should not be on the, who should not be on the field.
I'm sorry, this game still makes me, like, I'm still not over this game yet.
So, in the Jamaica versus the United Women's National Team game,
yes, where everybody lost their damn mom because we had the Black History lineup of the century.
Oh my God, the lineup made me so happy, and then it didn't.
So, yeah, the U.S. Women's National Team won 4-0. But yes, we got to talk about, in the lineup, I mean, we had Adriana French in goal.
Yes, finally. Yes. As she should be.
Crystal Dunn, Tierna Davidson. Who was that beside her?
So your Crystal, your Tierna Davidson. You still had Abby Dahlkemper.
Yeah.
And you had Emily Sonnet on the back line.
Yeah, Emily Sonnet, girl. Mm.
Your midfield, Lindsay, once again, as the six.
Yeah.
You had Sam Mewis.
Wait, no. You had Rose Lavelle first.
Sorry, you had Rose Lavelle. I forgot. Oh.
Yeah, ooh. Rose. Yeah.
Well, I forgot. I'm trying to
blow it out. You had Roosevelt. Yeah, you had Roosevelt on the right, and then you had Katarina Macario.
On the left, which is not where she plays.
It would have been fine. We'll get there. We'll get in a second. Yeah, we'll talk about why that would have been fine if somebody did what they were supposed to do.
And
but,
then we had up front, you had Kristen Press on the left, obviously.
Yes.
That, yeah. 10 in the middle.
Yeah, Carly Lloyd in the middle.
And then we freed Midge.
Midge was on the right.
We freed Midge.
It was like, oh, well, we really gonna do it. We gonna play Midge and Kristen Press at the same time. We gonna ignore who's in the middle. We gonna play them two at the same time.
Yes.
Oh, but then I was like, well, damn, but you got Emily back there. But it's fine though, because Midge can be right back if she needs to.
This is how I know Blacko got a burner account. But
I was like, okay, that's fine. That could work. That could be fine. But ooh, this is gonna be sexy. But is Carly gonna fuck it up?
Well, we had what? How quick was that?
It was like
40 something seconds. 50 seconds. Off of a pass from Rose, I believe, gets credit for the assist. So I think she's aiming for Midge.
Yeah, I think she was going for Midge, but it hit Carly.
Yeah, so Midge's jump is just off. Like, it's just over her head and it lands right to Carly Lloyd, who, of course, in that situation is going to score. Yes. So we were up 1-0 very quickly.
Yep.
And then pretty much had our way, right? Jamaica does not sit down and park the bus because they also like to attack. So they're not going to do that, which meant the game was open, still hot. Poor Katarina was shiny. It was so hot. And this game started even later, still hot. It didn't matter.
And it was hotter. Apparently it was hotter. I know people who went to that game and they were like, it was hotter on Sunday night.
And they were in blue. And you know,
deep blue. Yeah.
So also shout out, they wore pride kits for both of these matches. And I believe they'll wear it for the final one tomorrow.
Right.
We'll talk about that account another time and how they handled
it. But in this game, so let's see. That's a couple of things. So Midge was free.
Yes.
Before we get to Midge being free, let's talk about some of the things that were issues. Katarina Macario had an interesting game because Lindsey Horan refused to be a six, and she kept invading her spacing.
She drifts left. I am of the mindset, and I think I've said on Twitter, I think we should try Sam as a six, right? So I either think you do Sam or you let Andy Sullivan play, right? Like, people were actually going to stay central.
Yes.
Because Lindsay's great as a player. We talk about the rest of it later, but she'll drift. Like, that's her area. That left side is where she plays. And so she doesn't particularly know how to stay central, and she hasn't had to.
Right.
But you're right. That put her in Kat's exact area.
And so then it became a problem because it was like the lack of communication, particularly as Kat was then trying to work with, because I would have liked, if somebody else who would have been playing the six, like, put, if we could have seen Andy Sullivan back there with Kat and Rose, what would have looked like? Because Katarina was literally trying to work with whatever they worked in practice between Crystal and Kristen. Like, we had all this Black History energy ready for us.
Room.
This Juneteenth, my bad. Energy.
And her room was gone. And I don't think she's old enough or experienced enough yet to tell Lindsay to
stay back there.
Get back in your spot.
She ain't ready. Like, she's still young. She's not at Tobin Heath where she'd be like, look, girl, Kelly, you're going to stay as right back. Or if you're going to come up, you better be ready to, if I have to run and deal with this, you're going to hear about me. Right. Like, she doesn't have that veteran presence yet to tell people this ain't what it's going to be.
Or even a Rose who would just be like, nah.
You're not doing that. Yeah. So Katarina, in that part where she's been super vet-like in some aspects, she's still got to mature in that to be like, Lindsay, you're playing the six.
Yeah.
Baby girl, you either going to stay centrally, you got to maintain spacing, because spacing is important. People sometimes don't understand this when you have some dysfunction happening in the midfield because people don't communicate. That's part of it. And that's why Katarina was looking kind of crazy. Part of it was youth, but it also was because Lindsay Horan was literally not playing.
A six, right? And it looked very different, even though they didn't play at the same time, right? Later in the game, Andy Sullivan comes into that sixth role and it looks very different.
Very different.
Katarina and Andy played together. Like, did they play together or did they just miss each other?
I think they missed her. They might have played Ripley. They might have. I think they might have just missed each other.
But it's not going to be hard for them to figure that out, right? Like, yeah. I would have liked to see that with, like, an Andy Sullivan starting and seeing what it looks like when somebody who knows what they're doing at the six holds that.
But even when you saw Andy Sullivan come into the game, they then were able to, the fullbacks were able to then freely go forward.
Yep.
Including the fullback who, they were able to freely go off and be because Andy dropped back and was protecting the center backs. And then she was actually actively talking back and forth. And I was like, that's what your six is supposed to do, Shaw.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, and that's a natural position for her. Like, so to be fair to Lindsay Horan, she's not a six. And I think two games, we probably shouldn't play her as a six.
She don't need to be the six.
I would absolutely swap her and Sam.
Really need to, because in this game, what ended up happening is then Sam came in because Rose got an ankle situation.
I don't like it.
Thankfully, she's okay. She ain't going to be playing no more until after. She'll play later.
I'm going to a game. I need her to play that one.
She's going to play, hopefully, this weekend. But They held her out. They're going to hold her out. But Sam came in, but then he put Sam behind Kristen and they don't play well together. And then who was that? Then Lindsay stayed as a six
until she got swapped out. And then so Kat stayed. He took Kat out at half.
And put Christy.
Put Christy Mewis in. Sam stayed in. And then eventually he took Lindsay out and put Andy Sullivan in. That is what the midfield looked like. And I mean, the front line didn't really need a whole lot of production there. Like I said, that was pretty open.
Let's not, before we get to the greatness, that's the front line.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about this so we just get it done.
So
the right back situation.
The commentators and I were watching a different match.
Totally different matches. Yes.
So I will say this. I don't think Emily was as bad as I've seen her in other matches. Does that make sense? And I thought she was better this match than Kelby was last match.
Yes.
Well,
we were playing Jamaica.
And I would say the few really big defensive gaffes that we had were still on her. I know I saw Tierna clean one up for real.
There's
Tierna. Okay.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Who I love. I just need her to be healthy, please. She's so calm. She's so calm. I don't know how.
Yeah, she didn't freak out. She just moved that ball.
She's barely an adult. I don't understand.
Yeah, she did save Emily. I know what you're talking about. She saved Emily's.
What I'm talking about,
yeah, right? She saved Emily's life, and she did it really calmly. And I was like, "Girl, what were you doing?"
And she got run by a few times. Like, she's not a bad recovery defender, but I'm gonna push back on her being a plus because she joins the attack.
Because that was mess.
Even if she's a liability on defense, but she's a defender.
She's a defender.
Like, you can't be a defender and be a liability on defense. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
And we're not playing her in midfield. Stop this nonsense right now.
You can't.
If somebody from the back line is playing midfield, it's Tierna Davidson. That is the only acceptable person.
Or Crystal Dunn.
I mean, well, again, Crystal Dunn is on her own island. Everybody else is a different conversation.
But because I mean, Emily wasn't even passing well, man.
No, and so that's my other argument. I'm like, the argument for taking her has always been she's better at joining an attack. But I'm looking yesterday and I'm like, how is that? How is she better at that than Casey Krueger at this point?
Not at all.
Who has busted her, to be quite frank, who's busted her ass to be able to add that part to her game.
Right.
At an older age. At an older age, by the way. Right.
Yeah, and she passes the ball. She's done everything
you've asked her to do to make that team.
And she passes the ball accurately. Like Emily
was. She's not going to get cooked. She's one of the best 1v1 defenders in the world.
But see, what people are missing is Emily was missing like open people. I thought Kristen Press was literally going to turn around and like go off on her.
She was
upset because she was missing. Like Emily was missing passes and then drifting in lanes. That it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't play it. They don't play together enough for that to be something. They figure out like that's not who I'd play.
Yeah,
Kristen Press is starting. Just like you can play Kristen and Sam together, just not on the same side,
right?
But
you don't have Emily drifting all the way into the tech and then drifting cross field and then not defending.
Well, and then she moved sides, right? She was on the right, and then he took Crystal Dunn out at half, moved Midge back to the right.
Yeah,
it was very different when Midge Purse was playing right back.
Right, right.
She played forward for an half, entire half. She played a full 90. And honestly, I know we're getting our way to the front. This is Miss Purse's audition, and she passed, baby.
Yeah, you gotta take her because she looked better than Emily. Like she moved after she moved back to the back, and then it was just the first match that Lynn was then on the field. It wasn't having to break her ass, break her neck to jump all the way back to defend because somebody wasn't defending.
Somebody was back there.
Take
somebody who's good at two positions.
For Kristen, when she moved to the left. For the brief time she then was there after, when she was still on the left when Emily came behind.
She missed that lot, that fat one. She was mad at her.
Wait. But even beyond that, like when Emily came, she was like serving and she was disrupting the attacking flow that was happening on that left side. I really thought Kristen was going to go off on her because she was already irritated.
She wasn't smiling in the Jamaica game.
She was really irritated. But yeah, I don't know how you keep validating Emily. Emily played better than Kelly, but still, this was Portugal and Jamaica. I don't know.
Really interesting conversation, right? Because, and then I'll touch on this briefly. I don't take too much time. But the conversation is Lynn Williams has gotten a bunch of chances, right? I don't think she's gotten any more than Emily's on it, though.
Right.
And that's still true. In the same place with both, right? So I think holding that against Lynn in the way that you don't hold that against Emily's on it, who I don't
think she
improved any more than Lynn again has improved, and I think Lynn as a forward, by the way, is a better defender. But I think that's really interesting.
And Lynn hasn't had consistency in the back line behind her.
That's also true, right? Like where, she's usually gonna start. Yeah,
where Emily Sonnet has been given the luxury cards of pieces in front of her, you just need to freaking defend. Do you defend? Right. No.
Right. She plays on the side that has the weakest defender. Right, and Lynn can't really play on the left, right? So it's not like she can switch and we can see what it looks like because that's not the foot she shoots with. So she can maybe play centrally. I don't know if that's something you try and see if that
I would try.
Because we do need another nine. I mean, at worst case scenario, you can move Kristen Press to the nine with the forwards that with the midfielders that we have. But why? Because she's better on the wing. So
So we're gonna talk about the front line now. So
we can do that.
So Kristen Press, I don't know what this phenomenon of thinking Kristen Press is your best forward, period. And she is actually best at the left wing, by the way. Yeah. Commentators, I don't know what y'all been looking at.
Yeah, she's better on the left.
Because people were like, oh my God, she looked really good on the left. Have you been watching games, y'all?
She's inclined to play on the left. I think the reason it's always a conversation is because Pino plays on the left, right?
Yeah, that's
but it. I think one day we'll talk about it. I think she should have played on the left in the World Cup, but that's a different conversation.
Yes, she should have. Yes,
I know how good Pino was in the World Cup, but Pino knew she wasn't the best left wing.
Right, Kristen Press is your best left winger.
She knew that, right? And they're friends, and I'm sure that was a really awkward time. But everybody knew that. This is why nobody was worried when she came in.
Right. They're like, it's Kristen fucking Press.
But on the right side, Tobin, he's going to the Olympics. So there's that.
Yes.
But I think as a backup right winger, I said this on Twitter,
I think
Midge is the most natural, until Trinity Rodman gets here, Midge is the most natural backup for Tobin. Like, to me.
Yes.
I think she has the closest skill set. I think she's the better defender. She puts it in the net. Like, she's the playmaker. She can play anywhere on the front line. I don't know if I play her as a nine, but she can play either wing. And she can play on your defensive back line, right? Yes. So I think if this was Midge's audition, she sure as hell passed on both fronts, in both halves. And she played a full 90, and she covered inline. Like, my God, she was putting in a shift in terms of.
Yeah. Yeah, because she had to cover because your girl Emily was out here drifting to the other side of the field. So then Midge had to jump back and recover.
Yeah. So, like, and I mean, did everything well. Like, I don't think Midge made a bad play this match. So, and we'll talk about, you know, what she did to a particular Jamaica player in a few moments. But I think, yes, Carly scored, but I still think it's a speed issue at this point.
Yes.
Your wingers are too fast. And outside of that goal, she really wasn't putting herself in good positions, right? Kristen Press is the one who drew the foul, the foul to get the penalty. You know, Midge Purse scored and was able to sort of move in and out and was living on that wing anytime she wanted to get forward. And, you know, even Sophia and Alex coming in and having some joy, right? Sophia was moving on that left side when she came in for Kristen.
Right.
Baby girl just got it, you know, again, a baby Sophia, right? We'll call her that when she's 30. But she's just got to learn to be a professional on the national team. But he also continually brings her in because he knows it's there. The tools are there with her.
But I mean, even with Carly, the issue was she wasn't passing. She was so dead set on trying to score. She wasn't passing the ball when she needed to. Because there were a couple of times that even if she would have passed the ball to Kristen or passed it to Midge, they score goals.
Yeah.
And then this game is super out of hand.
Yeah.
And the good sis, Snyder. Yeah. She
doesn't
she
almost lose been, her face. Yeah.
She did almost lose her face. The ancestor stepped in. So she did what she had to do to stop.
I'm sure she would have appreciated it if she could have stopped another part of her body.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
she did.
Yeah. But there's a whole bunch of stuff where it's like Carly passed the ball. Like, if you would have
played, it still didn't look very good, right? Yeah, like, again, outside of the goal, I'm like, there wasn't anything particularly spectacular about that shift.
That I was like, hey, what would it look like if you had Kristen, Alex, and Midge?
Right.
Woo!
Right. Even if you have Alex, who kept making that run, but also was a little off for most of the match. I know she got the very late goal to make it 4-0.
But I don't know that. That's part of it was the chemistry issue because
I
like
think it's who she was playing with.
It was dysfunctional, and then you still had was Emily still out there drifting?
Emily was still out there, and you played Alex, Sophia, and Lynn. Like, at no point do I think those three have ever played together. Like, was just wild.
You had crazy drifting coming on until Lindsay finally got subbed out, and Andy went back there and acted like a defensive midfielder. Then you had all kind of foolishness happening where Alex is making runs, Sophia's making runs, Lynn's making runs, and then they're not cohesive because the midfield is a mess, and you have Emily Sonnet,
and then you had fullback, and then you had Kristen Mewis on the right. Like, it was just a whole lot of people who don't play together. Like,
they don't play together, in order they play in certain portions of the field. It's like, what are we doing? Let go.
It was just a hodgepodge of, like, I need to get people in the match. Essentially, the only person who I think was really in their natural position, kind of Sophia.
Yeah.
And then, Andy. Like, Andy plays that spot all the time. That
right.
makes sense for her. The end of that game got crazier and crazier. Because he was just throwing people out there. I was like, that don't make no kind of sense. But okay. But I mean, he has to see what he has. Do we think he goes back to what he thinks is his best 11?
The last match, it depends on who's healthy, because I mean Roosevelt is hurt.
She'll probably sit.
She's not playing. It's already been said.
You can't risk it. Yeah, you can't risk it.
She's not playing tomorrow. He already said that today. Okay,
good.
And so, Kristen ain't playing in club, so she's going to play.
Yeah, she's going to. She and I think he might try to play Kat and Abby just because they're also not
playing
right now.
Yeah, because with the news that there's possibly this roster could jump to 22, then you also, I mean, now it's like, okay, so Kat, maybe even Alana Cook plays. Well, I mean, no. Well, now she's playing for y'all, so never mind.
Yes,
now
she playing is. For Ryan.
Mm. Never mind. Mm. Just kidding.
He still might try to see what she looks like, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have players who aren't playing in club going to play all the minutes. So, Kristen, I hope you're drinking I hope you're hydrating right now. Yes. You playing probably 90 minutes tomorrow. And then Kat probably plays, depending. The question is, can we just put Sam Ewis at the six?
Yes, can we try it?
Or if not, please put Andy Sullivan in the damn game. Like,
he might play Andy Sullivan.
Either or, Lindsay looked like she got hurt with something. Don't put her out there. She got to play tomorrow.
One saver, she's played almost 90.
And she's got to play Sunday.
Right, and she has a club that she plays for, and she's not allocated. This is perfect. So they're going to be real mad if she
gets. Yeah, so this is perfect. Oh, well, you know, so Vlacko may play her.
He might.
Just in spite. But Andy Sullivan should play.
I think he will. He took Crystal out after 45, so I think he will.
So I think he probably plays Andy Sullivan. I would do it. It would be nice. And then put Kat in there. Can we, please.
I would almost see if Kat was. I would try the false nine because that's what she plays.
And then if
Andy Sullivan is your six, they're never going to occupy the same space.
And then what I would do, I would play Alana Cook it right back.
Yes, yes. You got to see what it looks
like. But for my satisfaction, put Emily Sonnet back there and then get off the narcotic.
You could play her on the left back.
No. No.
Okay.
Put her on the right back. I don't want Kristen Press pissed off. Okay. Well, is he going to play? Wait, y'all have a game Sunday. When is y'all's game? When is all around playing? Saturday?
We play Saturday.
So I was going to say, Megan probably plays half the match.
First half.
So then Kristen's going to be on the right. Yeah.
He'll probably go Pino Morgan.
Yeah, he probably goes back to part of his starting 11. You're right. But do I want the good sis having to deal with Emily's on it and maybe choking somebody in Austin? But for my satisfaction, Asisat and Iffy, dismantling Emily's on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so hard.
Yeah.
And Yeah, that would be.
That's going to be the best front line they've played in these three matches. So they are going to have to try.
So this might be all offensive. Yeah. This might be all offensive vibes.
Just vibes, yeah.
So maybe even put Tierna Davison back there at right back.
Yeah, I like Tierna.
I would do Alana because she hasn't played.
Yeah, I think you should see what she looks like, and you know for a fact Alana Cook can shut down. That's the side.
Yeah,
because I've seen her do it. In Champions League. So.
So we did that, and it looks sexy over there with Kristen over there, and then whoever the hell you putting behind her? What you putting, Christy?
Maybe to see what Christy Mewis looks like.
Ooh, Christy and Kristen
have differing opinions on Christy. I think from other people, maybe not from each other.
No, other people have issues. Christy Mewis is fine.
To me, to me, she's good to go. But
I mean, I would even put her as a non, even in the discussion.
I said that several weeks ago. I was like, can we try it? Let's see what it looks like.
I mean, we've been saying that she needs to be a non. It's like, why are we doing this? She
should be a backup nine.
She should be a backup nine, and that's why she should be going to the Olympics. Because she's your backup nine.
Christy scores goals, and Christy has worked really hard to add things to her game, and it paid off for her. So,
and she flows in well with Kristen and Megan or whoever's up there. Anybody up there, like, you can put, like, but try her as a nine.
Try her as a nine, and quite honestly, like, I know Christy got love for Houston, but somebody might poach her. I'm just putting it out there. In the coming season. But
they're gonna protect their dog.
I didn't say they were an American.
Oh,
hey, now
wait a minute, we're not doing that. Wait, we're not gonna do that. given some things I've seen,
we'll save it for later.
Given some things I've seen, she probably
will save it for later. We'll save it for later. But she's also she's good and worth poaching, so
yeah.
But yeah, I think those two games, a bit of a snapshot. I don't think we got all of the information. Of course, we'll wrap up the third game on the next podcast, since it's airing after this one. But yeah, that's pretty much what we got. Much of what we expected, some of what we didn't. And it's really hot in Houston, Texas. And that seemed awful to play in. So Godspeed on game three, where they play in Dallas, where it is also hot. So yeah, we we definitely touched on that. And just mentioning, I guess, briefly a few of the other international matches, because this was a FIFA break, so everybody's playing country. Portugal and Nigeria played. I did not get the pleasure of watching that.
Yeah, it was nothing but nutmegs and vibes.
Just, yes, everybody was like consumed by it. I heard in the stadium, it was just a hell of a time. It ended in 2-2 on a stoppage time goal by Nigeria.
No. Portugal. It was more than that. No, it was 3-3.
Sorry. Yes. I knew it was a draw. I knew there was a stoppage time goal. I have every intention of going back and watching that game because I heard it was just, like you said,
it was wild. Because at first it was like an accidental goal that happened. It was a goal.
Two own goals, right?
No, it was one own goal initially. Okay. And then Portugal started just like shooting off goals. So I think it like went to halftime 3-1 or something. And then Nigeria came out and they stormed back and got and tied it up.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, the stoppage time goal tied it up. And it was like wild. It was a wild game. It was nutmegs all over the place. It's really offensive vibes. It was good defending slash people were getting nutmeg left and right. It was the nutmeg highlight reel. Okay. Everybody got nutmegged. This is what happened when you got brown and black people on the pitch.
It was just a lot of sauce and a lot of shit.
It was just like crazy. It was just like nutmegs left. And I was like, wait a minute. Did she just nutmeg the person who nutmegged the other person? The other person got nutmegged. It was like continuous sequences like that left and right. Where goalkeepers getting nutmegged. Everybody getting nutmegged. Goalkeepers nutmegging play. Like, it was crazy.
I gotta watch it.
For the other games, we saw the Japan Mexico.
Yeah, that was the one where I was like, if this is what the Olympics are gonna be, I'm gonna be exhausted.
It was at 8 o'clock at night,
like 10 in Japan West Coast time. It was like, yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, they played in Japan. So again, shout out to Mexico for taking on like the best teams in the world. They do not duck anyone,
right?
There are some teams that let me shut up.
The team that's not playing before the Olympics. Okay, we're not gonna go there.
But
Team GB? Okay.
I mean, there's one in our group too, but that's the whole conversation.
Oh,
I still got thoughts about that World Cup. But I think Japan looks pretty good. So Japan, I guess, made the decision about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years, right after the World Cup, to go young. So a lot of their veteran players don't play for them anymore. And it looked painful for a while, but the timing of it was pretty good. And obviously they're the host country, so they want to show out and have a good showing in the Olympics. So they looked the part. That defense is still a bit shaky at times. And Mexico, while I think they're decent on defense, that transition defense is definitely going to
need hot mess. Hot mess.
That's where they got burned, because this game ended up 4-1, right? Or was it 5-1?
I think it was 5-1.
Because they scored really late. I think it was 5.
Yeah, I think it was 5-1. But it was all because it was like Mexico, what you see in Liga MX Femenil, wasn't carrying over the national team. It's like they were being timid on offense and defense. Yeah. Well, defense was still in Mexico.
Yeah.
The offense, it was being really timid. But when they were really aggressive, it was like we back at the Chivas and the Tigres match. Yeah. Like, it was fire.
And I think they were trying to do that. I think they played to the opponent, right? So they played into whatever plan Japan had. I too wished Mexico had just gone full attack, right? You had nothing to lose. And I don't think Japan was going to be able to defend that, right?
Not at all.
They might have won the match, but like, you were going to get some goals out of that. There's not a whole lot of teams that can match all of that attacking talent that Mexico has.
Not at all.
I think, again, I think they're working and trying to figure it out, and they're trying to get themselves ready for CONCACAF qualifying for the World Cup. Because do we get 4 teams now? Because I know the number of teams is expanding. I think CONCACAF might get an extra. So, you know, they're trying to get in that spot. You know, U.S. and Canada are you know, knock on wood, almost always locked. And so the battle for those last two spots is really going to be rough. And it's not guaranteed as the CONCACAF teams get better for the U.S. and Canada.
Right.
I think that was a good showing. So Australia drew today with Sweden, which is actually a Group C match forthcoming in the Olympics. But Australia needed that win because they've let in, I think, the 3 matches before, 5-5 and 3.
Yeah.
So, and that's wild to me because you got one of the best young defenders in the game in Ellie Carpenter. So I don't know what's going on with that defense. I mean, they obviously have attacking talent. They have one of the best strikers in the world. But yeah, I don't know what's going on with Australia. And they got like a month to figure it out. So we'll see what that looks like. The Netherlands righted their ship. I don't know if that's they fix things or if Norway's just falling to pieces. I don't know what's going on.
Norway probably fell to pieces.
So. Yeah, I don't know what happened in Norway because they got talent. So it's weird that they're not better than they are. Same with Denmark. I didn't expect them to get beat down by Spain the way they did today.
Wait, what was the score for the Spain?
Denmark? I think it was 3-0.
Okay.
I mean, it was 0-0 for a while, like, almost the whole first half. And then a nice little golazo happened for Spain, and it kind of just opened the game up. But I mean, Spain is, we've talked about for ages, one of the more dangerous
teams. It's like what happened with the Japan-Mexico game. It was it was low-key scoring, and then it just went off the rails in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, Spain is dangerous. We know that. I'm still not 100% sure about their goal scoring, but we'll see. And they do have young talent coming. So, you know, I'm always scared of Spain. So, yeah, that's sort of just a look around the globe at some of the other matches that happened. And, of course, the nationals, the last women's national team match.
Wait, Canada and Brazil.
Oh, that scoreless. It wasn't a boring scoreless game, at least.
It was
there were plenty of chances. They both just didn't get it in. I mean, you have two good goalkeepers. Barbara, in particular, I think, had herself a game. And I think Ashley Lawrence has one of the best growth periods of the last like year since the restart, at least, right? And she can play multiple positions. She's Canadian Crystal Dunn. Nobody's as good as Crystal Dunn, but in that idea, she's not as good a goal scorer, obviously. Having said that, Marta, man, you didn't have to do that to her. Marta put Ashley Lawrence on the ground. Sorry.
Well, she did. Yeah,
she did. Absolutely,
she did. She did that to her.
Because she's Marta, and it happens to the best.
Yeah, she did that to her. It was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, also that was like a Shea Butter mixtape situation.
Shea Butter and one for sure. Yeah, to cross her up. She got nutmegged at some point too. But I don't know if that was Shea. It wasn't Shea on Shea crime. There was a lot of that this week actually. Yeah. But yeah. Well, I guess that's a good segue. Do we want to talk about the Brazil match? I think I watched that one, right? So
yeah,
just a lot of chances. There's a lot of attacking talent. Dan Rose for Canada is the truth, and I'm sure what was she supposed to go to? North Carolina?
Yeah, but she's playing overseas.
I'd be sick about it too if I was Paul Riley. She's very good. And that combination of her and Nichelle Prince could end up being very dangerous very soon. So they just got to get on the same page. They're real close though. So yeah, I think Canada will be a hard out in Group A. They could play around and win it if they can get you know, the ball in the back of the net. But that was a matchup of another two Olympic teams. So yeah, it was good soccer, even if it was scoreless. So let's hop into the superlatives since we talked about the N1 mixtape.
Yes.
Okay. First one is the Shea Butter bomb. We've talked about her
week. Yes.
And what is a dolly? What the hell was that?
That was a bomb. That was a super bomb, man, against Germany.
Her ribs were bruised while she did it or something. Yeah. And it was the only goal in the game between France and Germany. I would argue France didn't have their best lineup because, as we know, the French Federation is a hot mess when it comes to the women's team, even with all that generational talent. And I don't know what's going on with Germany. I'm not sure. I think they're rebuilding.
Yes.
I'm sure they won't be like this for very long. But yeah, Kenza Dolly, just when she scores, it tends to be world-class. So wherever she goes, I think it's Arsenal, maybe Lyon, and a couple other teams vying for her. She'll be good to go. Shea Butter dime. The game. You want to go?
It's Kristen. It's the good sis, Kristen Press.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful dime.
Sam Lewis didn't move. She didn't move.
She literally turned her head. It was so accurate. Sam was surprised it hit her in the head. It was the 40th assist. So she got 40 assists, 60 goals. She should have 62, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
She has 60 goals, 40 assists. So the combination of 100, number 14, yes. Or the 14th person?
Yes.
Only U.S. Women's National Team?
To have a combined 100 points.
And keep in mind.
Keep in mind. I rode the bench. Most of her national team
was career. On the bench.
because we don't make good decisions.
Because people don't make good decisions. Jill Ellison made good decisions.
U.S. What soccer I said. In general just doesn't make good decisions when they could. Speaking of U.S. soccer almost not making good decisions.
The Shea Butter and one.
It's not Marta, even though we mentioned it. And that's because Margaret Purse committed that Shea on Shea crime. I don't know who the Jamaican player was that she put.
We're not going to say her name. We ain't going to say the good season name. She don't like that. Put her out there. Y'all can just go find a clip.
Because U.S. soccer then made it a slow motion clip, which is so disrespectful.
Yeah. Like, I had wondered if somebody had gotten that clip, because when it happened in game, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Mitch. Yeah. It was a ooh. Mitch Purse is very good on the ball. I've heard more than one person say she's probably the best 1v1 offensive player we have. Probably arguably not named Tobin Heath, but yes. There's a reason she got them sneakers from Tobin, y'all.
Tobin, no. Reason.
She was anointed. So Mitch Purse is filthy. She's got all the sauce. She scored a goal. She proved her point. She's very good on the front line, and she's still very good on the back line. So we can't sing her praises enough here.
Oh,
wanna go?
Yeah, all the Shea Butter all brick performance.
I mean,
you could go. I mean, from a defensive standpoint, for sure. Yeah, for one person particularly this week, Crystal Dunn.
Always right,
because Crystal Dunn had to side because she was only fullback. You know, yes. We don't have no fullback on the other side unless it's Mitch Purse dropping back to fullback. We didn't have no other. She played in two games where she had to be the fullback because we didn't have another one. So she had to cover up for the right back not being a right back. Yeah. So she even had like this phenomenal tackle in the box that could have been a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
That
I don't know if anybody else in the game makes that tackle.
Yeah.
That was a great
one. She literally, it was a phenomenal tackle. And there was a couple of times she had to clean up because, again, the right back wasn't right backing. So, yeah.
We can never. There aren't enough words to describe how good Crystal Dunn is at soccer.
Yeah, because even when she had to cover for Megan Rapinoe, well, help Megan Rapinoe because the right back wasn't covering, and Megan was having to run. Crystal was sprinting all the way from yonder to help. You do that thing.
Yes, we have a right back problem, but such is life. We'll address that next podcast. Shea Butter mic check is a tie.
Yes.
Both Ms. Purse and Kristen Press were feeling froggy.
Yeah, they did.
In the Jamaica game. So
was Jamaica? Well, in the case of Kristen, it was both games. But
Ms. didn't play the first game. So
because Kristen had people remember the foot save, but when we're watching the back, she had some other shots. That was like Kristen.
I mean, yeah, that's what we love, right? The audacity to try it. And most people aren't gonna try what she tries to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's very evident in real time. Like, Mitch Purse is growing in confidence, like, by the second. Because she tried one. Jamaica game.
Yeah.
We were just like, oh, okay.
Oh. It was like, oh, okay. That almost went in. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. You was about to do that.
And so casually. Even her goal celebration was rather casual.
Yeah.
She just let out a scream.
Because it's like, that's it.
I told you.
I'm Mitch Purse.
I does I'm this, here. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then player of the week, I guess we're going to call it. We again gave it a tie. So, I mean, we've been talking about her all podcast. So, Mitch Purse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wanted to give love, and I agree.
Jessica Silva, she had to be the... Jessica Silva's playing everywhere.
1 through 10.
Also, Jessica Silva... Yeah, yeah. As I tweeted Jessica Silva, and she retweeted my tweet.
Yes.
She was playing all over the place. Kansas City better use her all over the place too. Don't be doing this foolishness where I don't know where to put her. Now you better use her all over the place. She was defense, midfield, front line. She was doing the thing.
I actually think she and A-Rod could have some fun together.
Yeah, they could.
They could.
Figure it out, Kansas.
Yeah. City. So Kansas City has some talent. Mm-hmm. And they're not losing a lot of it. So for the Olympic break. So yeah, I picked them to be the sixth seed. And sneak into the playoffs. We'll see if they make me look smart.
We'll see.
But yeah, that's it for international matches. Are we gonna introduce people?
Oh, are we doing it now? So I guess yes.
Yeah.
So it's that time to introduce the new segment, the Shea Butter VHS videotape film study.
Or we're gonna break down the old film from our favorite members of the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week we are looking at the July 2015 match of Washington Spirit versus the Chicago Red Stars. And so at this point in time, the Washington Spirit that's where Crystal Dunn played for that team, and yes. Kristen Press played for the Chicago Red Stars. And they were actually the goal scorers for the match, which ended in 1-1 draw.
Yes.
Where Kristen scored in the 31st minute.
From Crystal scored 25 yards.
Okay. Kristen scored in the 31st, and Crystal scored in the 85th minute. But yeah, let's talk about the game.
So let's talk about it. First of all, watching this was just like, oh, blast from the past. I forgot who used to be in the league. I forgot who used to play on different teams. Like, yes. It was wild. Yes. I heard names I hadn't heard in years. I was like,
this was their younger years. So keep in mind for this game in particular, because it's going to be a series, because next week yes. we're going to do a game I didn't want to do, but we're going to do it. And I'll say it later. But the but this is, I think Kristen was probably, this is her second year with the team.
Yeah.
And then
Crystal second?
Yeah, Crystal second too. So these teams were kind of coming into form in terms of how they were going to flow.
Yes.
But we started to see the beginnings of what is the greatness of Crystal and Kristen.
Yeah.
Even if their team wasn't doing what they needed to do.
Right. Though I think both teams were in playoff. I think they were both in playoff position when they played this game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were. But they you could see team identity.
You could see what was going to be in spots watching this match. I think for me in watching it, I think Chicago had a much better first half.
Yes, they did.
And Washington had a much better second half. Just for me, some of the things I noticed, it was weird with Kristen Press because she definitely started on the wing and was just flowing, like whatever she wanted to do.
Yeah, she was,
the right side. She started cheating toward the middle though, almost as a midfielder, which she ended up doing for Chicago later on, being a midfielder for
yes. them.
And a playmaker. And so you could see bits of that. You could see maybe where Rory got that idea. And I mean, it was really good. There were a few that she put in that people just missed.
Yes.
And I think her goal actually came sort of outside of where I expected it to come from, because it's Kristen Press and she pops shots from deep.
Yes.
That's just what she does. And then she was obviously the threat. And so the second half, they just marked her the whole second half. So she couldn't really breathe. And I didn't like her partnership with Leon. It changed a little when they took Leon out, because they brought in Sophia Huerta, who was in her bag at that time in her career. Fun fact, she was still a Mexican national. She's still playing for the Mexican national team, because they mentioned it. I was like, wow, I forgot about that. I think that's interesting. LeBlanc was still in goal for Chicago. That's how long ago that was.
Yes.
And Ashlyn Harris was in goal.
For DC? Yeah.
For DC, and absolutely got blitzed by Kristen Press. Not the last time that's going to happen.
Yes.
In her career. I literally screamed at a TV when I saw it. I was like, girl, ain't the last time she's going to do that to you. It's fine. That's your friend, though. That's rough. And then for Crystal, I think in the first half, they had her central a lot. She wasn't a 10, but she was central. And she didn't have a lot of room to move or play make. And the person she was partnered with at the start got really hurt. I don't remember her name. I think it's Del something. And so they had to take her out of the match, and they bought on Ordega, from Nigeria. And that worked a lot better. Like they almost played too high. Crystal could cheat in some, but she could match her pace, and so they were able to really feed off of each other. Ardega had a few good chances off of some of the Crystal Dunn plays, and of course when she's free and she has room, I mean, she's a playmaker. And this is 2015, which is the year, as we know, Crystal Dunn was the last person cut from the national team, and that's also the year she won MVP for the league. So she was clearly in her bag, both goal scoring and playmaking, and I think that really came out in the second half. They were able to make some adjustments. They I can't remember who the old school player that they bought on was, but that helped open it up for her as well. And you had Allie Krieger in midfield, which is
how
we'll What a time to be alive. So she was able to both defend, obviously, and Allie Krieger is a sneaky good playmaker. So again, she was able to open up that space and bring defenders with her, which gave Crystal Dunn a lot more room to do what Crystal Dunn does, which is make runs at people and pass the ball off. There were at least three crosses. I think I missed one. There might have been four, where straight up her teammates just let her down. Should have been on the end of it.
Yeah, and even in the case of like Krista Press, she was being, they marked her. They effectively marked her in the second half. But she was still defensive, like.
She was a really good, she had like two or three really good track back defensive moments. Like she broke up a really good pass from Crystal.
Yep.
If she had not, like that probably goes in goal. So she was a hell of a defender this match, actually.
Yeah.
So, I don't think she's a world beater on defense, but I don't think she's as bad at defense as people
make her out. I don't know why people be thinking she'd be bad.
She's a forward that plays defense. Like, I don't expect my forwards to be.
Yeah. Oh, like you, forward. Like, which, wait. We be expecting defenders to be great attackers.
like, I don't expect that. I don't expect my forward to be as good a defender as my defender, right? Just like, I don't expect my center back to be as good at scoring goals. I don't want Becky Sovereign joining in the attack. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And yeah, like they marked Crystal too, first half. And like I said, you had Allie Krieger in midfield and some other pieces that they were able to put in and draw defenders away because you had to respect the other goal scorers. And so that gave Crystal Dunn a lot of room. But what I noted from this game is you can't play either of them centrally too long. You've got to give them room to play wherever.
Or if they play centrally, they got to be able to move around.
Right, to be able to move spots, right? Let neither one of them stay.
Yes. They won't do
somewhere.
It.
Somewhere.
They're going to move. They need to be able to move.
Yeah, they need room. I think they're both still best on the outside.
Yes.
And then they can drift in when they need to, right? Crystal drifts in on the ball and usually distributes, though. She mic checks every once in a while.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, patented Kristen Press, cut back to the, we know the move at this point. Cut back to the right. And she's on the left and shoots it at an angle that's really hard to defend. So you could see sort of the pieces starting to come together then. Not that they weren't great before, obviously they were, but you could see it in this match. Like, it was interesting. I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't the like most fun I've had watching an old match. It was stagnant for a long time, particularly because there was so much time between goals. But yeah, it was a good match, and it was a good way to sort of, like I say, see the versions of them that we see now. You can see a lot of the beginnings and sort of what coaches who had them were thinking and what it is to build a team around them, right? Because Washington very much was building around Crystal Dunn. Chicago was clearly building around Kristen Press. I chuckled, though, because I think once the commentary came on, because it was out for almost all of the first half, they were talking about people complaining in 2015 about the United States not having goal scorers. It was very funny to me.
They were right there.
I'm like, she's right there. But they're right there. If you would just, you know, we've talked about it before. y'all know why. But yeah, I thought it was worthwhile. And just, yeah, it's interesting watching old films.
Well, yeah, particularly with them, it was nice to see the beginnings of a variety of things that you end up seeing while Rory Dames uses Kristen Press all over the place.
Yeah.
As to why also, well, beyond the spirit, what happens with the North Carolina Courage, how they use Crystal. They actually become important for the next game in this segment we will watch.
Yeah.
We're going to look at the semifinal match between DC versus Chicago Red Stars, where that is a chaotic ass match in the semifinal. Yeah. I still vividly remember that match. Watching it live.
Yeah, you were a Red Stars fan. I'm sure
that was rough. Yeah, I was a Red Stars fan. We're not going to talk about it. We are going to talk about that match because that is
right now.
For both of them. Yeah, not right now. But that is the next match we're going to look at in the series of the VHS videotape. Imagine hearing the sounds of the videotape reel. God, some of y'all don't even know what that sounds like. Anyway.
The fact that you had to explain what a VHS was is funny.
But yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But right now, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to get back to some hits and riffs. Somebody's going to rant. and then some raves, and then we'll be done.
All right, sounds good. We'll be back in a little bit.
The fastest growing professional league in the country has added a new club. AC Syracuse has announced its intention to join NESA, making it the newest in a long list of expansion clubs for the new league. We sat down with AC Syracuse owner Sam Belsine to talk about his vision for the club, what lessons he's taking from the other expansion sides, and how he plans to make his club stand out in a state already becoming saturated with NESA clubs. That's on the newest Sightlines, part of the Protagonist podcast feed, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, beautiful people.
What's good?
Not much. We're going to go ahead in our short little episode and jump into our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. So I'm going to let the homie Sky kick it off with her yesteryear music.
Okay, so for my turn up of back in the day, is that really a turn up? I guess it is. Butterfly by Crazy Town.
Hey.
That popped on my iPad. I put on my iPod. My iPhone in my rental car. Because, you know, my bootleg car has some issues.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody called me. So they better be fixing it. Anyway, that popped up in the car this morning. And then my Quiet Storm, my slow jam of yesterday is Voyage to Atlantis by the Isley Brothers.
Whew.
Dedicated to you, boo. You know who you are.
All right, now
I'm wilding, but yeah, you know what it is. I'm playing, y'all. I'm playing. Or am I? Anyway, I'm gonna get some text messages. Boy, oh boy. But anyway, yeah, go Seals. Who's y'all yesterday?
All right, listen. Be careful out here. That's all I'm gonna say. My turn up is Girlfriend by Nicole Ray. So my yesterday,
wow,
I know it's a little bit of a Missy Elliott kick that I was on. I really liked that song. I think it came out right when I was starting college. So yeah, I have fond memories, and it just goes, it's that sort of consistent, not quite go-go, but that same kind of consistent, consistent, rhythmic, Missy is from VA, beat going on. And it's pretty catchy. That machine just sort of turned out everyone and made good music for a long period of time. My yesterday Quiet Storm is My Place. I do not have anyone to dedicate that to. Though if I did, I'd be real different as a person right now. By Tweet, the artist, not Twitter, not a tweet on Twitter. It was an artist named Tweet, Once Upon a Time Kids, who made an album called Southern Hummingbird, which is very good. And she's a very good voice. But that song is just real grown and sexy. The song might get you in trouble if you're not living right. So
tell the people, I forgot. People don't know who Tweet is.
Tweet is. I'm like, not a tweet. Tweet was an artist. Just look up Southern Hummingbird. Her more famous song is Oops, if you know what that is and what it's allegedly about. So, that's my yesterday. What do you have for today?
Oh, so my today, my turn up is the boy Jeezy.
Hey.
Once upon a time, young Jeezy. Who that?
Wow.
That's my, I'm a Atlanta Falcons fan, tried and true. So forget New Orleans Aints. So yeah. Who that? We that. Go listen to that song. Go get that vibe. I heard that. I meant to bring that up last week, but I forgot. Okay. And then the today's Quiet Storm isn't really today, but it is going to be. It's Cheers to You by Playa.
Wow. I haven't heard that.
Cheers to you.
Until we meet. I didn't think anybody else banged with that song. I like that song.
If I had a wish, baby, I wish. Yes. Wait. Excuse you? You sing it on my...
Sorry. I got excited. I haven't heard that song in ages.
I'll be your angel.
Playa, wow, what a moment.
Cheers to you.
I did not authorize the whole singing.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's my song.
Wow, that's such a specific moment in time to know who Playa is. Okay, you gotta be a certain age. That's a reference.
Dang.
Good music.
You making my today sound like yesteryear. Well, it is kind of yesteryear.
It's today for us. We're still young, so it's today for us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
There you go. My today turn up is probably not like a traditional turn up, but I was on a No Name kick this week too.
Clearly.
So I did Blaxploitation. I think it's from our first album. Might be the second one. So No Name is more of an activist and a political voice now, calling people to task, working with incarcerated people, all of this stuff, doing really amazing stuff, and catching a lot of hell for it too. But her music's also very good, and so she has two full-length albums, so I would definitely have you go check them out. She says a lot and her flow is really good. And then today's Quiet Storm, I have such a soft spot for Teyana Taylor. Gonna Love Me is the one I went with. I think that's from her 2018 album. Oh no, it's from KTSE, something like that. But yeah, Teyana Taylor is just a very solid artist. I don't think I've truly been disappointed by any album she's made. Certainly not recently. And that's a sexy song. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I got for my hits and riffs. And so let's get into these rants and raves. Mm-hmm. I guess I have a rant.
Yeah.
Is it okay? It's about your car.
No, it's not about my car. Well, I never got my car.
Sorry, because you sound mad. You should be.
Well, yeah, because they didn't call me about this car, and it's like 9 p.m. And I'm like, so did the rental are the people gonna fix my car for free?
Right.
Or do I have to call them and tell them, yo, I'm keeping this truck for another day? Riding around here looking like a
I was wilding
in my Ranger
when it was under warranty, and it still took like 2 months to get it fixed. So yeah,
that's not what.
Yeah, I had a rental for like 2 months. It's wild.
What?
It was wild.
Don't say that because it could be my transmission. Anyway, oh, no. Back okay. To the rant and raves.
My bad.
Because then I need to get a Mustang. I can't be riding around in a Ford Ranger.
If you're gonna do it, you gotta upgrade.
Yeah, if I gotta be sitting through this, I need to be able to cut people off smoothly. But yeah, do your rant. I got a rant.
Okay. So mine'll be quick. And it's a rant, I guess, slash rave. I don't know. I had a lot more anger when I typed it. I don't think I feel as strongly now. But my rant is, see what happens when you play Black players? U.S. soccer, do you see? Do you see what happens when you free Midge Purse? Because I need y'all to acknowledge who started that campaign. It was Black soccer fans. Particularly what? Young ones, particularly women, non-binary, particularly queer ones.
Yep.
Don't take credit for that now.
Yep.
Because we saw it. We all saw it a long time ago. Y'all no. late.
Late.
Ooh. Play Black players. We could have been great sooner if Crystal Dunn and Kristen Press had been allowed to prosper and not ride the bench or being cut for mediocre talent.
Ooh. Oh, you're yes. going there. Ooh.
There were several people who weren't as good as Crystal Dunn in 2015. And the Ooh. Narrative that her getting cut made her better is bullshit. I'm sorry, Mom. Listen, Crystal Dunn was that good anyway.
Yep.
You didn't need to cut her to Facts. Prove a point,
Facts.
To motivate her. She motivated. Facts. She one of the best players in the world. What more motivation does she need? You did it to yourselves. You get in your own way every time. Stop.
They used to watch it for Kristen too.
Not picking Black people because you think you owe white people something. Please.
They did that for Kristen too, even though she won the Herman
Trophy. I mean, she be riding.
Maybe I am as angry as I was when I typed it. All right. So, like, but seriously, play Black players. And even if you don't want to, you're not going to have a choice. Do you need me to name all the people coming?
They are coming.
Because it's Ziara. It's Trinity. It's Brianna. Midge is already here. Sophia Smith. Simone Charlie. Naomi Garma. Alana Cook is already here.
Katarina
Macario. I don't care if y'all think she's ready. Fox, soccer. Because she plays for Lyon, and she's pretty damn good there.
Yeah, she's starting.
Kiki Pickett. Madison Hammond might sneak in here. And even if they're not...
Brianna Pinto.
I already said Brianna Pinto. Don't worry about that, because she's here. Brianna Pinto coming. And there's a few more you don't even know about yet.
True.
Because they're still in college, and they play in schools, and you don't pay attention.
Ooh.
It's going to be a whole lot of melanin on this team, like, this time next year.
Yeah, they're coming.
So I need y'all to make peace with the fact that the racists probably ain't going to cheer for this team anymore. But embrace the fans that you're going to get.
Yep.
And stop shooting yourself in the foot. We in our own way.
Well.
You know what the talent looks like.
Well.
And there's no amount of money that's going to get the people who aren't as talented to where the talented people are. They just happen to be a bunch of Black girls. Or at least girls at the moment. I don't, or women. I don't know how people identify later in life. But
grown-ups, y'all.
Grown-ups. You got an 18-year-old out here who sees the pitch different than anybody I've seen. Certainly from this country.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gonna be better than the two players she modeled her game after.
Well,
Brianna Pinto should have won the Herman.
Facts.
If I'm keeping in the buck. And that's not even a shot of how I actually like her. But, like, it's coming. It's here.
Mm-hmm.
So get right, play the Black players, and we'll win a lot more.
Yes.
And we won't have to worry about it, and we won't have to sweat it out. That's all I needed to say. Okay. I'm done now.
All right. So my rant's short and to the point. U.S. soccer. Media team. Listen close. I might at y'all. Maybe I'll cut a snippet of this and then at y'all directly. For the love of God, in camp, you have Katarina Macario. You have Sophia Smith. You have Kristen Press. Kristen Press rewrote record books at Stanford University. Guess who are the two women behind her who have broken some of those records? Sophia Smith and Katarina Macario. For the love of God, sit them down for this Juneteenth celebration, which I should have did in the Black History Month in February. Well, but some point at some time, Melanie May, you could have did it in
Juneteenth,
I don't know.
Juneteenth, Jubilee, July. We can go all day.
We can make up names. But it makes no sense that y'all have yet to sit them down and have a legit conversation.
Amen.
About life. Even all the Black players. You got a bajillion Black players. Like, you could literally sit them all down and have a conversation. Do it and have a conversation. Y'all making all these rehashes of all these other skits y'all had. Sit them down and talk.
Yeah. Because that's a legacy thing. Somebody built a legacy and to see the fruits of it.
Yes. Like, have a conversation. That'd be cool. And even you can have a conversation with Kristen and Crystal with the rest of them, all the younger players.
Oh, that would be dope.
That'd be fire. Record that shit. They would do it. It ain't hard. They will make time in their schedule. Even the woman who is a CEO, Kristen Press, because y'all keep acting like she ain't a CEO. Like, they will make time to do and have these conversations.
Because that's what they care about. Them. Yeah. They care about who's coming after them.
For sure. They will do it. The first time I see Kristen and Kat have an interaction should not be in the game last week when she's yelling at Kat to move in somewhere. It should have been, we had the conversation. Because, like, you got all these Stanford.
Yeah.
This is not hard, y'all. And people keep adding you on the social media to do this. Get pictures, to have conversations. This has been going on for months. Do it.
Yes.
All right, I'm done ranting.
Sounds good.
I'm ranting out. Oh, so we need to rave.
Yeah, and we have a few. So shout out to the Portugal-Nigeria match and the Nigeria versus Jamaica match. Listen. Speaking of, you know, we just went on that rant. I love to see two melanin heavy teams playing one another. It was good soccer. it was entertaining. And you have a ridiculous amount of talent on all those teams, and they just need more chances to play, right? And to play good competition. So, and they're in leagues, they're in top leagues in the world now. They're getting there. So when we talk about, you know, the rest of the world catching up, let's not forget the teams that have mostly Black players. Nothing but love to all the delegates. And shout out, did I do that right? I'm from the South. Sorry, please. Y'all. I'm gonna get clowned for that. That's fine.
Yo, we gonna get at it.
Shout out to Andre.
Yo, I wasn't prepared for that.
I didn't think I was gonna do it, and it just came to me. But clearly, I'm not built for that. I'm sorry, Mom. You from Jersey? I apologize.
Do it again.
I can't. I gotta be serious. Okay. I don't know. I'm from the South. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yo, is that right? Yeah, did we do it? We both from the South, so I don't know.
I don't think that sounds right to my ears, but that's fine. We made our best effort.
Hey,
but shout out to New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, who showed us love past Friday to celebrate as part of their month-long Juneteenth celebration. They're shouting out unique Black voices in the world of women's soccer and so the podcast love, and we were in the same tweet as the Black women's players. So floss on them, and they apparently follow our account. So
yeah, and they listen.
Yeah, y'all are funny. Like, we appreciate y'all. Y'all are good. We hold you up as an example of how social media can be done.
Exactly. Well.
So we will continue to support, and y'all got all the delegates. So, and the outfits, like,
fought.
Just keep coming, ladies. They're fly.
Maybe we need we need an outfit of the week.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do that now because
we gotta get against this for the week.
I think Bethany Bowser already talked about they ready for that. They ready for that rematch because everybody got their fits ready. So
yeah. We gotta talk. So we gotta add it. We gotta add we gotta recognize who got their fits right for the week.
Yeah. We're gonna do that next. Yeah, we got that for sure. Cause y'all out here dressing, we gotta show love.
Who else? Yeah. Oh, we gotta shout out Jessica Silva, Jorian Balcom for retweeting our tweets.
Yes, we see y'all. We appreciate it.
We see y'all. Yeah. I got you, Jessica. I got you. Jorian out here got the big bun energy.
Big bun energy.
Stickers and t-shirts.
This is our plug. Start Jorian Balcom, please. Thank you.
Yeah, starter. We'll start her and Jessica.
Yes, they should both be starting.
The J's should be starting. Hey.
And then we mentioned this earlier, but shout out to the possibility of the Olympic roster. 22 players. That's a game changer, literally. Literally. Might change our whole episode if they make that decision before Sunday. That's a wild one, and I didn't think it was a possibility, but I think Wegman
is coming. Yeah.
Yeah, Wegman petition, and she seems to be about halfway there. So if she gets 22, we get 22. So, so I'm excited for that. Let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good segue to talk about what's coming in next week. So.
Yes. So
next week, the NWSL comes back, y'all.
Yes.
So it's going to be a lot of games. Well, not a lot of games. It's going to be some games, but they're going to look very different because you got new players appearing.
Woo.
So it's going to be like, Will Rain has a solid defense. Oh, Ebony Salmon is playing in the attack for Grayson.
I forgot Ebony Salmon is back. See?
Oh, Mauro is here.
Tina's here. Oh, Nadia Dean will be joining Ebony Salmon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wait. Oh,
Brianna Pinto.
Oh yeah,
he's gonna be out here in the streets, y'all.
Make her debut.
It's time, guys. It's about to be wild out here.
Madison Haley will probably make her debut in the next.
Yeah, Madison Haley.
Chicago.
Oh, wow. We not gonna have issue scoring?
Doesn't look like it. I think she and Mal Pugh might be a lot of fun.
Ooh.
So yeah,
did we forget anybody?
Not at the moment. More to come because it doesn't look like teams are done yet.
Yeah, Pisky teams. What is the salary cap? It doesn't exist. We'll talk about that later. Nothing exists. See what happens when you don't have a CBA? We'll talk about this in the upcoming episode. But
Yeah, yes. We'll talk about the NWSL. My bad, we went off topic. And then we have the we'll talk about our for real truly top 10 hybrid player list.
We got to, yeah.
We might just put some hybrids out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're gonna rank them. We'll see what happens.
We'll do it eventually. This is the hard list.
Oh, and then we also we gotta do the Olympic roster.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be complicated. This will make sense when we talk about it. Sunday. And then
we will be playing general manager.
Yes, general manager. Wait, I don't know.
Well, we might save.
We're not doing that. No. Save that one. We're not doing that yet. And
I think
we'll give our superlatives.
Our second match as well.
Second match of our film sessions where we're gonna look at the semifinal.
Sky doesn't want to watch, but she has.
We're gonna relive the torture of me watching Chicago lose.
Yeah.
To the Washington Spirits in a semifinal.
Pretty well-known match, but yeah, it's.
But it's a very exciting, wild match.
It is. It's a good match. Unless you're a Chicago fan. Sorry to y'all in advance, Chicago fans. We have.
But yeah, go check that out.
We have a lot of them on our timeline. And then, as always, we will get into our hits and riffs and rants and waves of the week.
Yes.
And just want to do a quick shout out before we wrap it up. To the fam, obviously, Can I Kick It, who recently joined 2 Cents. So congrats to both of them. We got love for both of y'all. For the Culture United, always holding us down. Diaspora United, obviously, the other podcast. And then Kaya Unfiltered, who officially got her scarf this week and picked her team in New Jersey, New York. So
yeah,
I'm happy she finally found a team. But yeah, I think that is everything.
Okay. Well then. Guess what, guys? Stay hydrated.
You know you need to stay melanated.
And then make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated. Because it's Juneteenth. Okay, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And then you're like, have a good week. Don't watch too much soccer. Like, make sure y'all doing work.
Yes.
I'm getting text messages from people who are I'm like, are y'all doing work or are you watching every Euro Cup game in all these games?
Both. You're welcome. Oh, my boss might be listening to this. So work with the noise on in the background so I can.
Yeah, do your actual work. Yeah. But stay blessed and stress free. And B. A. Also, go Atlanta Hawks. Let's go.
Oh Lord. All right.
Peace.
On that note, we're gonna peace out.